Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, yo, what's up? It's The Rant. I'm Jeff, and good to be back after a fun weekend. I was at a Scott Fishbowl live event in Philly yesterday, did some broadcasting for SiriusXM, but ran into some people who were saying some nice things about The Rant being back. I appreciate that more than I could even tell you. But I got to tell you as well, so I set up this email address and a few of you emailed me and I totally forgot about it, forgot to do anything about it on Friday. Oh, come on.
Shame.
Really?
Shame.
We're going to do that. All right. Shame. I forgot. I'm human. So I'm going to get to your emails later in the show. I also have a voicemail line. Nobody has been bold enough to call into that yet. We'll talk about that later in the podcast, though. Today, we're going to talk Buffalo Bills and Carolina Panthers. We'll do a little preview of both those teams. Very different ends of the spectrum coming off of last year for these two teams, but there are plenty of things to like about both. And both teams are teams in transition. The Bills don't look the same as they did last year, and certainly the Carolina Panthers don't. Even with the new coaching regime in place. So let's dive right into it. Let's talk some Buffalo Bills. We know this team's very good. This team has been one of the top teams in the AFC, you know, essentially since the Josh Allen breakout happened. They have been quite productive for fantasy purposes. Allen is an elite fantasy option. And Stephon Diggs was, well, if he wasn't in the elite conversation, then he was right there. He was a wide receiver one. He's out. The roller coaster, the human roller coaster ride we know of as Gabe Davis is out, but they bring in a very interesting rookie wide receiver in Keon Coleman. They have a whole bunch of weird depth. I think that's the best way to put it. It is weird depth at wide receiver. You know, you have Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you have Mac Hollins, you know, you got guys like that on this roster. Curtis Samuel. I mean, it's an interesting group. But we'll try and make sense of that. Of course, an interesting tight end as well in Dalton Kincaid. But I want to start with Josh Allen himself. I mean, I don't have to tell you how good he is. You're not listening to this podcast for that reason, obviously. But the guy's really stinking good. He is really stinking good. And the scary thing about Josh Allen is we have yet to see his ceiling as a passer. We've seen the ceiling as a runner, and we already know what that is, and that is It's elite. The guy had 15 rushing touchdowns last year. That ties with Jalen Hurts for the single season record. You know, previously it was Cam Newton with 14. It's elite. But here with Josh Allen, so he's already had 330 passing touchdown seasons in 2020 at 37. Then he goes 36. Then he goes 35. Now last year, ho-hum, 29. Come on, Josh. He's been over 4,000 yards in each of those seasons. But it's completely fair to say, you know, 40 plus touchdown ceiling, no doubt about it. 5,000 yard ceiling. I mean, his max is 4,544. But I think we could see that. I don't think that's that outlandish. Now, he's going to throw interceptions. I don't care. And you know, what's interesting about Allen, unlike Jalen Hurts, when we eventually get to the Eagles, Saquon Barkley is going to eat up some of those goal line carries, plain and simple. Josh Allen really doesn't have that. James Cook, and I'll talk about him in a moment here, is not a goal line back. They brought in Ray Davis. They drafted Ray Davis. And I like Ray Davis. I think he's going to be more of a role player. He's really old for a rookie, by the way. He's going to be 25 this season. He's going to be more of a role player. Could have a little bit of a role, though, in that red zone area because he's a bigger guy. Like, he's 220 pounds, 5'8". So really, like, stocky, you know, little brick house. But Allen's the goal line back, man. He's the goal line back. You know, last season, second among quarterbacks in goal line carries with 14. So he's basically almost averaging one per game. Only Jalen Hurts among quarterbacks had more, 16. These are not only like they're outlandish numbers for quarterbacks, they're borderline elite numbers for running backs in goal line work. So he converted 8 of those 14 for scores. We know just how good he is as a runner. And again, I'm not worried about the interceptions. The problem with Josh Allen is the same problem that I mentioned with Lamar Jackson. He's going too early. If Josh Allen goes in the third or even fourth round, let's say he falls, it's the fourth round. It's too early for my liking. I'm not going to draft a quarterback in that range. I have found over the years that yes, quarterbacks have importance, but when I ever would do that. And I used to do this way back in the day. I was a drafter, a quarterback, early drafter, like a lot of home league guys, like back in like 2005, whatever. The builds that I would create were never robust enough to keep pace with my opponents at the positions you start more of. You start more running backs and wide receivers than you do quarterback. And I could never keep pace with them when I do that. So that's why I'm not worried about a quarterback early. And that same principle applies in Superflex. It really does. I do the same thing in Superflex where I'm waiting at the position as opposed to my opponents who are going after it in the beginning. Now let's pivot over. I think it probably makes sense to talk about wideout here because we had Diggs and to a lesser extent we had Davis. Now we knew what to expect out of Davis, although seemingly every year people forgot that Gabe Davis was the ultimate boomer bust wide receiver. But neither of those guys are here. Khalil Shakir is still here and, you know, had a mini breakout down the stretch last year, ended up with 39 catches for 6'11 and two touchdowns. It's not much. Keon Coleman, a rookie coming out of Florida State, good size, the ability to play above the rim. You know, he's a receiver that we have not seen Josh Allen have over the course of his career. And then you have Curtis Samuel, who like kind of quietly consistent over the last two seasons, kind of, you know, that was really what he was as the slot receiver there and coming over and figures to play a lot in the slot this year. Coleman's not going to play in the slot. He was in the perimeter 83% of the time over his 3 years in college. And then Shakir could play inside or outside. So anyway, Curtis Samuel, 64 catches 2 years ago, 62 last year. That's about what we would expect here. The reality is any given week, I think it could be any of these guys. Like it could be a Keon Coleman week. It could be a Curtis Samuel week. It could be a Khalil Shakir week. I think they're going to enter the season without a true number one and the ball will get spread around. And we've seen some teams like this. It's not good for fantasy. But the team that kind of sticks out to my mind in recent memory without a true number one, although it kind of, I guess it evolved last season, was Kansas City. You know, they didn't really have a number one. And then I guess maybe Rashee Rice emerged as that down the stretch because their number one was their tight end. And that's the parallel I'm trying to make here. Dalton Kincaid figures to be the top target. Kincaid is basically a big slot, essentially a wide receiver for him last year. He stayed in the block 1.2% of the time, like basically never. He lined up in a slot 60% of the time. He was outside 18% of the time. So he played in a wide receiver spot 78% of the time. You know, out of inline, so he was inline on 20% of his passing plays. That was the fourth lowest rate. Only Mark Andrews, Mike Gesicki, and Kyle Pitts had lower rates. So those guys are all noted as being primarily pass-catching tight ends. Good. Dalton Kincaid had 73 catches last year, 673 and two. And we really haven't seen what he's capable of yet. He's going to be a very interesting player this year. And the nice thing about Dalton Kincaid is unlike Sam Laporta, who already broke out, Laporta's going in the early third round right now, pick 35 overall. Travis Kelce, late third round. Then you get McBride in the fourth, Andrews in the fifth, and that's where my wheelhouse starts. And then Kincaid two picks later. Kincaid's going 51 overall. Andrews at 49 overall. I'd be happy with either one of those guys, but if I don't get them, that's okay too. Like sometimes you're just not in the right spot to pick guys in a snake draft. So be it. But I do like Kincaid a lot. He should be heavily featured with Josh Allen. The one challenge though, of course, is getting some touchdowns vultured from Dawson Knox, though we didn't have as much of that last year, fortunately, as maybe I suspected. He only had two touchdowns. He had three end zone targets. He actually saw 55 fewer targets than Dalton Kincaid, but had the same amount of end zone targets as Kincaid. Kincaid only saw three. So hopefully those numbers go up for Kincaid, but I'm not really overly concerned there at all. Let's round out with James Cook. So Cook had a big volume season. He actually was 10th in the league in touches, which that was one of those, every so often you do stats, putting stuff together research-wise, and I'm like, whoa. Like, I did not expect that. I mean, I remember him obviously touching the ball a lot, but I didn't think he was top 10. Oh, he was 16.5 per game. But here's where the problem is with James Cook. He was lightly used in the red area of the field. Five goal line carries. Five. Josh Allen had 14. I already told you that. You know who was second on the team last year? the 72-year-old Latavius Murray. He was not 72, but he was in his 30s. 12 goal line carries for Latavius Murray, only 5 for James Cook. Cook had 0 in his rookie season. So that puts a cap on what he can do. You know, when you're not producing rushing touchdowns, it does put a major cap. He has 4 rushing touchdowns in 33 games. Now, he did have 4 receiving touchdowns last year, and he's a very good pass catcher. 44 catches, you know, 446 yards, had the 4 touchdowns, anything with 4. And, I mean, hey, I like that. I like the explosive ability. But the problem is, if Josh Allen is their goal line back, and then maybe they give some of that work to Ray Davis, some of the Latavius Murray work, that still caps out what James Cook can do. So that's a little bit of the concern there. All right, let me move over to Carolina. Last season sucked. You know, it wasn't quite 2021 Jaguars, but it was close to that. It wasn't quite that level of dysfunctionality though, but it was a mess. I really hope for Bryce Young, for, you know, the young wide receivers here, for Jonathan Brooks, all of these guys, that Dave Canales is able to do his thing. Now, the nice thing is, unlike last year where Frank Reich kind of had this like Frankenstein's monster of a coaching staff that was cobbled together, and you got the sense, especially after that Athletic article came out, like that was not what he wanted, but it was what he had to do in order to, you know, be in that job. And when you have coaches in the NFL, these guys really need to be on the same wavelength. And if they're not, and they're clashing, or their schemes and philosophies are not really complementary, then it's going to be a bad product ultimately. And that's what we saw. You know, that is what we saw. So Canales comes in and he brings one of his guys, Brad Idzik, with him as the offensive coordinator. I don't know if Idzik is actually, I don't think he's going to call plays. I think this still will be Canales, but either way, having your guys is important in the NFL in terms of coaches. DJ Chark out, Hayden Hurst out. They brought in Deontay Johnson, one of those young players I mentioned, Xavier Leggett at wide receiver they drafted. I mentioned Jonathan Brooks. They also drafted Jatavion Sanders, tight end. I don't expect much out of him, at least in the short term, but an interesting dynasty name, no doubt about it. The biggest question facing this team is whether or not the first round pick from last year's draft, the 2023 draft, can take a step forward in year 2. Because it was a really rough season for Bryce Young. He was one of 3 starters to not top 6 yards per attempt. He was last in the league, 5.5 yards per attempt. He was one of 2 signal callers to be sacked over 60 times, 62 times, in fact. Only Sam Howell was sacked more. Now, we made a big deal about Sam Howell taking all those sacks. We didn't make as big of a deal about Bryce Young, but that was a lot of sacks to take. He struggled on deep balls. He converted 13 throws that traveled at least 20 air yards. That's very low. And overall, it was pretty lackluster. There were maybe a few instances where he showed signs of life. So you bring in Canales. What do we know about Canales? Maybe you don't know much, but you know where he was last year, right? Tampa. And what did we see last year? Biggest surprises maybe of the season, Baker Mayfield. Really, not necessarily like, you know, in general, but him doing that. You know, at this time last year, some of us were talking about Kyle Trask as a viable starter. Baker said, no, F you. This is my job. And not only that, I'm going to play so well that I'm going to make it impossible for them to not keep me. And it was Baker, you know, he gets some credit there, but it was also Canales. Let's go back. Where was he before that? Seattle, one of the biggest surprises, Geno Smith. And he was a part of that as well. And of course, no, I'm not taking anything away from Baker or Geno Smith because they did it ultimately, but Canales was a part of it. So can Bryce Young take that step forward? And I don't know. Obviously, he's not draftable this year, but except maybe as a third quarterback in Superflex. And I don't even really like that, to be honest with you. But we need him to take a step forward for the sake of Deontay Johnson, for the sake of Adam Thielen, for the sake potentially of Xavier Leggett or Jonathan Mingo. We got to talk about that in a moment too. So let's talk about Deontay coming over. Obviously, last year wasn't massive. He played in 13 games, had 51 catches. Okay, whoopity-doo, 717. But the most important number for Deontay Johnson is 5. Because in 2022, he had zero touchdowns on 86 catches. Last year, he had five. You know, it's not amazing, but he got off the schneid, and that really was important. Actually, three of his touchdowns came on end zone targets, too. He saw seven end zone targets last year. Last year, the air yards was up 12.5. That was the highest air yards per target in his career. And he also had 1.97 yards per route run, which was the best of his career. His previous best was 1.89. So, and that was back in 2021 when he put up 1,000 yards and 100 catches. So not a bad year, but again, a lot of his value is going to be contingent on can Bryce Young improve? And that's got to be baked into the price point for Deontay Johnson. So right now he's going wide receiver 37 in ADP, which I think is fair. You know, I'm still primarily in best ball mode, although I do have my Scott Fishbowl draft coming up this weekend in LA. But I've been, you know, primarily in that sort of mode. But I can tell you that redraft wise, at least my initial here, my ranking on Deontay Johnson, I can give you all these guys, but I'm just a tick ahead of ADP. I'm at 35. So basically you're talking, and wide receiver 35 is going in generally the same range. You're talking like a seventh round value on him, maybe a sixth round value. Not bad. Now, Thielen, I'm not as bullish on. I have him at wide receiver 63. I think I'm right on. Yeah, close to ADP. He's wide receiver 65. So he's going right in the same range. My problem with Adam Thielen is just the age factor. You know, when we saw it last year, he got out of the gate hot. He ended up putting 103 catches on the board. He ended up having a 1,000-yard season. But by the same token, most of it was front-loaded. And like a lot of older players, I mean, he's 34 years old, he faded down the stretch. You know, and so that type of player is not somebody I like to be drafting in the late rounds. But I do like him still on this team. He's almost like taking this like player coach role this year, which is pretty cool. So let me talk about Xavier Leggett and Jonathan Mingo. If I have Mingo in Dynasty, them drafting Xavier Leggett in the second round was not what I wanted to see. Because remember, Mingo was drafted by last year's regime, not this year's regime. He was okay at times, but he struggled with efficiency pretty significantly last year. And it would seem that Leggett is going to leapfrog him and just step right into the starting job. Leggett was very good last year, 3.15 yards per route run, 13.8 air yards per target. Like that's an X receiver type range. Very good after catch, 6.4 yards after catch per reception. He ticks a lot of boxes. Now he's a bit of a one-year wonder after 4 years of almost no production, mind you. Fifth year breakout at the college level is a little weird. But these are the COVID kids, so, you know, whatever. If I have Jonathan Mingo, am I panicking and trying to trade him away in Dynasty? No, because his value is still pretty low. I'm hoping, honestly, he has like a good week or two, and then I would capitalize and trade him away because I don't know if there's much future here for him. I could be getting ahead of myself. I'll admit, Adam Thielen is not going to be here forever. So there is a world where this is Deontay Johnson, Xavier Leggett, and Jonathan Mingo. But obviously the Leggett selection, not a good one for Mingo's long-term outlook. I have Leggett at 68. He actually, unlike Thielen, even though I have him ranked lower than Thielen, would be a player that I'd be more likely to target. He's actually going wide receiver 69 right now in ADP. Nice. But he'd be more likely for me to target than Adam Thielen in the late rounds just because he comes with a higher ceiling. Jonathan Brooks, the rookie running back, was kind of buried. Not even kind of. He was buried on the Texas depth chart. You had Bijan Robinson. You had Roshan. Brooks finally breaks out though last year. Of course, he ended the season with an ACL injury, so that is the major concern. But he was really good. Sixth in the nation in scrimmage yards per game, 129.5. He averaged over 100 rushing yards per game, 103.5. Really good after first contact. A three down back as well. Caught 25 of 29 targets last year. And they stepped up and they selected him. You know, they have Chuba Hubbard. They have Miles Sanders. And they selected him. That's really telling. And remember, Canales, what do we know about him? All right, well, he's coming from last year, an offense where one guy was the true three down back, Rashad White. And then the year before, I mean, this was Kenneth Walker's first season in the league, but Kenneth Walker was heavily used as well. Jonathan Brooks, if he's healthy, is going to see a big workload. And the nice thing about a three down back is it doesn't matter if they're winning or losing. He's going to get his regardless. If they're playing from behind, he probably has a few more catches that week. If they're playing from the lead, he has a few more rushing attempts that week. But he's going to get his touches regardless. And what I also love about running backs this year, the rookies, there's no Bijan. There's no Bijan Robinson. There's no Ezekiel Elliott in his rookie season. Right? Nobody's clamoring to get these guys in the early rounds. You can get... Well, Brooks is really the only one I'm going to be targeting this year, but you can get him after the running back dead zone period. He's going RB27 overall right now, and that's right in line with where I'm ranking him. I'm going to have him right in that range if he's your, you know, the second or the third running back that you draft. What's wrong with that, you know? And I have very, you know, very low expectations for the middle round running backs I draft. They're going in the middle round for a reason. I am two spots ahead of ADP, by the way, at RB25, but I love that right in that range. If I get him, great. If I don't, also not a big deal. As far as tight end is concerned, as I mentioned, Jatavion Sanders is an interesting name, though I don't think there's going to be much tight end productivity out of this team. So if you have Jatavion Sanders in Dynasty, awesome. Otherwise, I don't think there's much here this year, you know, out of those tight ends. So there you go. There's the Carolina Panthers. Next on the list, we'll do the Bears and the Bengals, and we'll kind of start rolling through it that way. But as I mentioned, I do have, well, I have a voicemail line that you can call in if you want, you know, you want to call in, ask a question. You leave a message. I'm not answering the phone, by the way. You call in and leave a message. The number is 215-720-1708. Question, you want to contribute to the show, you just want to say what's up, I'll play it on the show. We'll definitely do that. But I realize not everybody wants to contact me that way, and some of you just want to email, and that's cool too. So I set up an email account. It's just Gmail, therantpodjr. So all one word, therantpodjr at Gmail. Joseph was one of the first to check in. This was on Thursday, like so immediately after the first episode came out. He's like, I already did a review of the pod on Apple. Just want to say I'm glad you're back and able to get to work out everything here with the rant 4 days a week. Looking forward to it. Rat Pack forever. Appreciate you, Joseph. Appreciate you, man. Levi checking in. And he said he is also excited about this. He said the new M album, I'm assuming that means Eminem is straight fire. I'm not a big Eminem fan. I love hip hop. I fell off with Eminem. I fell off with Eminem a long time ago. But he said he's in a 10 player or 10 team super flex league. He said they have a catch. The commish has a 2-quarterback max limit on each roster. Would that format change how you look at the quarterback position? Grab one after 10 are gone and then wait until a team has both of theirs and then have my pick of the remaining. Just curious of your thoughts on this. Actually, Levi, you know what I would do? I would draft the last 2 quarterbacks in that league because that's really problematic. I mean, you got to give people the opportunity to back up their starters, and you're not giving them that opportunity here. But think about it this way. Only 20 quarterbacks are going to be drafted. That's it. That's all that could be drafted in this league. So if you think about it from that vantage point, even if you get quarterback 19 and 20, that's still not bad. Right now, my quarterback 19 and 20 is Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't hate that. And if you don't like Aaron Rodgers or you don't like Kirk Cousins, it's the Achilles brothers, by the way. If you don't like that, okay, Deshaun Watson's 21. Okay, I'll take Deshaun Watson. Like, I'm totally fine with that because I'm going to be ahead of my competitors at running back and wide receiver in that format, and that is my number one objective. So I think you can take it and use it to your advantage. Use the format to your advantage. So after that, let's see who else has checked in here. Mike checked in. He said, congrats on getting the podcast back. Thank you. He said he listened to the first couple episodes. He's listened to me on Sirius for about a year and a half, just renewed the FTN membership. By the way, folks, over at FTN, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. It's back. I got that back this week. Yeah, they said no promo codes, and I said, we got to give the people what they want. So RATPACK for this week will get you 10% off for new customers. He said he's not on social media, so he can't interact like he'd like to, but he heard about the email. See, that's why I set this up, because I know some of you guys aren't on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. He said he's learned so much by listening. He's in 2 leagues. One's a dynasty, one's a keeper. not a big college football guy, but loves the NFL. And he said, with all the info I give on rookies, it helps him tremendously, the news, etc. He's a dedicated listener. Appreciate you, Mike. Yeah, the Rookie Fantasy Scouting Guide is up over at ftnfantasy.com as well. And people will come back to that. It's not just for dynasty rookie drafts. You know, you can use that to really get a lot of intel on these rookies for your redraft leagues, like right now. Jared checking in. Quarterback value in a redraft keeper league is what he said. He says, great to have the podcast back. He said his question is about draft value in keeper leagues. He's the commissioner of a 12-team PPR. Their format is one quarterback, two running back, two wideout, two tight end, two flex, and he's got a defense as well. He said he instituted two keepers per team for this season. Heading into last season, it was made clear they were going to do keepers so everybody could draft accordingly. So the way they're doing it this first year is you get your keeper at their original cost, and then each year it increases by five. Wow, that's aggressive. Five draft rounds. Players who are acquired off the waiver wire assume a 10th round value. Then he said there's the setup. So here is his question. He's keeping Puka and Laporta. With that incredible value in the bag, I'm already considering going quarterback in the second. See, this is the problem. Okay, so he's essentially saying because he has these good keepers that will allow him to abandon draft strategy. And I will tell you this. I'm going to get a bunch of these types of questions in the coming weeks where people are going to want to find an excuse to abandon strategy. If you abandon strategy, you are no longer using strategy. And if you are no longer using strategy, you're doing things like what I did back in like 2005. In 2005, I was shooting from the hip, baby. And every draft was something different. There was no rhyme or reason to it. It was a complete lack of strategy. Just because you have those guys doesn't mean you abandon a strategy, you know, and for me, you're still overpaying by taking a quarterback early. I don't care if you have two keepers. I will say, though, by the way, players off the waiver wire, are those players drafted? If it was a player who was drafted and then dropped, they should still have their original round value. And then we always just reward, if you got a guy off of waivers who you end up keeping, like maybe it's Kyren and he wasn't drafted, and then you picked him up off waivers, then you get that dude as a last round value. You know, that's what it's all about right there. So anyway, that's my two cents. But no, just because I'm keeping guys does not cause me to abandon my strategy. He said he knows I have the three rounds of value rule. The elite, he said, but to be elite in three positions is tantalizing. Well, I suppose, but you're also missing the point of the build. Would you rather be elite at three positions or have three elite wide receivers? I mean, for me, I'd rather have the three elite wide receivers because then I know I'm going to be able to make up ground at quarterback. Running back, we know, is a volatile position. You're set at tight end, cool. And I wouldn't say the Puka's elite, by the way. So I would say you're elite at one position, and then you have a really good wide receiver one at the other position. So I'm not abandoning strategy just because of my keepers. Good question, Jared. Feel free to email me, and you could also call into the voicemail line again. therantpodjr@gmail.com is the address there. Appreciate everybody who's been reviewing the show. We're doing really good in podcast rankings. Let's keep that going. If you haven't reviewed the show, just pop onto iTunes. I'll also take a Spotify review. I'll take any review I could get, baby. All hands are out here. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. And we're going to roll on. So this week, here's what we'll do. We are going to do pods the first 4 days of the week. So today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. Why? Because I'm traveling to Los Angeles on Friday. So we're going to do it that way this week. Most of the weeks, though, it'll be Wednesday. We'll be off from this show, and we'll have a Thursday and Friday episodes. Anyway, we've got that going for you, too. FTNFantasy.com. Make sure you go check out everything over there. And use that promo code RATPACK if you want to get in on the goods that we have at ftnfantasy.com. All right, I'll be back tomorrow for another edition of the pod. I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.